Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Okay. You know, sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking that Jesus was always this sweet, passive man, you know, strolling along, performing miracles. But Jesus was not one-dimensional. In his life, Jesus experienced and expressed the full range of human emotions. And in this morning's gospel, it seems like he went out of his way to provoke people. And he purposely used language that would definitely catch the attention of those listening, and it would disturb them. Eat my flesh, drink my blood, ugh. And drinking blood is against Jewish law. Why would Jesus say something like that? Well, scripture is full of literary techniques and exaggerated speech and metaphor and allegories, and even riddles are used. And very often, physical, familiar, day-to-day items and experiences are used to express spiritual meaning and to make a point. You know, the Bible is a book of stories about our ancestors that imparts great lessons for us. And like we all know, truth in a family story doesn't need to meet the same standard of truth as a history or a science book. The Bible, scripture, is full of truth, even if it may be presented symbolically. And then sometimes the story can alternate within itself from literal to symbolic language. And maybe the details aren't scientific or historically accurate, but the truth is still presented. And in our Anglican tradition, we use scripture. We dig into it and chew on it. We use our tradition and our reasoning or our intellect, and we struggle to understand God's message. And as we mature, so can our understanding of the Bible. So in our gospel, Jesus is expressing who he is. The words used are not just for shock value, but they will catch the attention of whoever was listening. Jesus is using an analogy of eating to help us understand that he is the sustenance of life. And to support this, he links all the way back to the known stories of the Israelites, where God provided food that saved them. And in Scripture, there is an overarching theme that runs continually through it of God providing a banquet, of feasting, of getting together and eating, and as we know with Jesus' Last Supper, and that hope we have of a heavenly banquet. So Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life, bread from God that provides what we need to live, and not just for today, but for eternal life. And this was an outrageous claim, because Jesus is linking himself to the most significant experience of God's chosen people, their exodus from slavery in Egypt. Because Jesus is saying, just like God provided manna during that long 40-day journey through the desert that saved their lives, he is now providing the food that sustains. And not just for 40 days or 40 years, forever. And his astonishing statements continue. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, so that you enter into me and I into you. Pretty strange. People listening in the first century didn't fully understand what Jesus meant, and we too kind of struggle with it. You know, how are we to understand that comment? Was it literal Or is it symbolic language? Well, we know that when we eat or drink something, it enters into us, it gets processed in our stomach, and it becomes integrated into our physical bodies, providing nourishment. And once we eat and it's processed, it's a part of us, even to the cellular level. When Jesus says, "Eat my body and drink his blood," he is illustrating how integrated his presence can be in us. So when we consume, take in, absorb Jesus' presence, we are receiving spiritual nourishment. And Jesus is telling us that he provides nourishment that sustains, not just for today or even 40 years, forever. He is spiritual food for our souls, hearts, and minds. And through the remembering of Jesus during the Eucharist, we take in real spiritual sustenance for getting us through this life. It was really astonishing when Jesus connected himself to the story of manna in the desert. And he did this to drive his point home. He now provides what God's chosen need to live. In the desert in Scripture, and in many places today, is not the tame experience we all know from a Palm Springs resort. It is a remote, lonely, challenging, and difficult place. And it can be a scary place where it's easy to feel overwhelmed by the challenges and danger, or even lost and forgotten. You know, the desert is symbolic for any experience that we have that brings us close to starvation or death, either physical, mental, or spiritual starvation and death. You know, in the book of Exodus, we hear how the Israelites relied on manna while wandering in the desert to sustain them through that difficult journey. And Jesus now says he is the bread of life. He is the spiritual nourishment that can sustain us. He's saying that he, Jesus, is enough to get us safely through our wilderness moments, our journeys through the scary and unpredictable times of our lives. You know, we've heard this before. Jesus says, "Abide in me and I will abide in you." Well, this means the same thing. Consume me, eat me, take me into your body, mind, heart, and soul, and have a spiritual union with me. Abide in me, integrate me into your every cell. And Jesus uses an everyday human experience to explain it. Eat and drink. Take in and consume. Jesus wants us to be that completely integrated with him and he with us. So taking communion, eating the bread and drinking the wine, is not going to satisfy our hunger for food or our thirst. It is just a small host and a sip. Yet God's presence through these simple elements can satisfy what our heart and soul hungers for and longs for: comfort, strength, forgiveness, understanding, acceptance, and love. Like the manna in the wilderness, communion is a way to receive God's loving and life-saving care. Now, flesh and blood is a Hebrew idiom referring to the whole entire person, heart, mind, and spirit, including our feelings, our hopes, dreams, fears, concerns, sorrows, and joys, all that makes us a human being. So when Jesus asks us to eat his flesh and drink his blood, he is referring to become a part of every bit of us. He wants his presence fully integrated into us and our lives. Well, and flesh and blood also refers to family, to that most intimate relationship of parent and child. You know, in flesh and blood, invokes the closeness and dependency of a mom with her baby, the baby's complete reliance on her, and the mother's commitment to feed with her body and care for that baby. Feeding stories like manna in the wilderness, like that banquet that wisdom talks about in our first reading, these stories are about Jesus stories about Jesus asking us to eat his body and drink his blood. Well, they really are about how much God cares for us and provides for us the sustenance of life. You know, and until this moment in John's gospel, Jesus just took care of everybody's physical needs. You know, he was healing the sick and feeding the hungry. He just, a few Sundays ago, we read about feeding the 5,000. And then he challenged everybody. Are all you people following me just for the free food? Well, now he's saying that he can minister to spiritual needs too. He can provide what nourishes our souls and sustains us now and forever. And by the way, the next couple lines of John's gospel talks about how almost everyone in that crowd that had been following Jesus for healing, free healing and free food, when they heard this, eat my body and drink my blood, they left. It's hard to be intimate, isn't it? Jesus was asking for intimacy that they just couldn't get their heads around. Jesus is present in the bread and the wine of communion, offers nourishment that is real and true. His presence satisfies our hunger, our deepest longings for acceptance, forgiveness, and love. So when Jesus says, eat my body and drink my blood, it is spiritual food that strengthens us and keeps us going. You know what happens at the communion or at the Eucharist, at the altar? It may be beyond our intellectual understanding, but it is real and true that participating in communion nourishes us because somehow Christ is more fully present there. Through communion, Jesus is offering an intimate sharing of life, intimacy that requires staying close, being vulnerable and interdependent. And this is true of all relationships, with all those that we love and who loves us. You know, and it's best when we get together physically with the people we love. In the communion bread and wine, Jesus is offering us spiritual intimacy with him, life with him always. So Eucharist, taking in the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, and the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation, fills us with nourishment for our souls. And we need this to continue Jesus' ministry of mercy and love, of doing all the other real, tangible things he's asked us to do. Feeding the hungry, taking care of the poor, bringing hope to the prisoners, visiting and healing the sick, and taking care of the most vulnerable people in our society. So in a little bit, I encourage all of you to embrace the mystery. Come on up, take and eat, and feed your soul. Amen.